Hello and welcome to episode 15 of the 3-Bit Podcast. I'm Kyle Simmerly, and with me today is Thomas Curtis.
Hey, hey.
And Peter Boda.
Hey.
And I know Thomas and I have been on spring break, so we probably have video games to talk about. Thomas, what have you been playing? True.
We're just diving in? Well, both of us played Heavy Rain the past couple weeks. Let's talk about that. Heavy Rain's pretty good.
Yeah.
No. I don't want to talk about it.
Peter Vito's Heavy Rain. Okay, so next thing.
No, talk about it. Now that okay, Kyle Heavy wants Rain to move on, pretty you interesting. Talk about it.
Heavy
so
Rain.
You finished it?
I finished Heavy Rain like a week ago or something.
Oh.
So it's not like totally fresh in my mind. So.
Well.
But
it's more fresh in my mind, so okay. I'll help you.
Go ahead.
Is okay. it because you so were I'll watching just... him?
What? No. I finished the game 3 days after Thomas did. Oh, so okay. I let Thomas play through it, and then I played through it.
Got it.
Because we kind of agreed that playing it alone is more conducive to enjoying that game, because you don't start making fun of things.
Oh, yeah.
That game was really badass. It did stuff that was totally different that I'd never seen done in a video game before. It really was... I could tell that this was something, after playing a little bit of Indigo Prophecy, this is the thing that studio, Quantic Dream, has... They've had this goal in their mind all of their developing career. Like, this thing was, like, the pinnacle of what they were going for.
What David Cage wanted.
I wouldn't say Heavy Rain is, like, the pinnacle of what they're going for, but it's definitely, like, a vast leap in the right direction.
Yeah. It was, essentially, it was kind of the whole playing a movie type thing. And
right.
There were very few times where I broke out of this kind of trance of where I was
of role playing.
And it was, I mean, I role played a lot in like Assassin's Creed. This thing was totally conducive to me role playing to a ridiculous extent. Like, there were a whole lot of opportunities in that game where I was legitimately upset I had to make a choice. Like, there were a couple of choices I didn't want to make because, should we spoiler tag this and actually talk about details?
Talk about spoilers? I figure why not? The game's been out for like a month, right?
I mean, did you think you were going to play it?
Well, all right. I want to be more just let's talk about like what you enjoyed about it without getting into the story for
now. Then what I can say I really enjoyed about it is the way that it integrated mechanics into this story that you didn't feel like you were playing a game. You really felt like you were acting in a movie or, you know, executing a story, a narrative, a piece of fiction. It was totally different than these other interactions you have with video games as a medium. Like,
just because you have these mundane actions that are...
Mundane actions, yes. But you almost start to appreciate them as your own movements. Like, the whole slowly pressing a button to reach for something, yeah, that was kind of funny to joke around.
Right.
But you stop thinking about it in that context once you start just playing the game and getting involved in it.
Yeah.
And it flowed. There were so many times where I was watching the screen and I thought I was watching a movie.
Right. What I've heard is, like, they string together the actions very well.
Yeah.
And they make it easy for you to, I guess, easily keep doing these actions because they give you the prompts right where your eyes are
exactly.
looking.
Exactly. It was an awesome experience. I was blown away. And frankly, I was excited for this game just off of the little thing we'd seen at PAX.
Right.
And totally blew me away. Like, I was amazed by this game.
Yeah. I mean, I think the game's greatest strength is just the fact that it doesn't try to push its, like, setting and characters too far. It keeps everything within the realm of possibility, which I can't think of, like, a single other video game that does that. Like, how many games can you say, like, take place in a world that's basically, like, the one we live in, you know? Like, so that makes all the stuff that happens, like, a lot more meaningful because you can relate to it, like, 100%. Like, you know, when you're in a mall and you lose your child, like, that can be, like, one of the most traumatic experiences a human being can go through. I don't know because I'm not a father, but, like, I can imagine that would be incredibly, like, terrifying. And, you know, so you put yourself in the place of this father, which is a role you can see yourself one day being, you know, or I can anyway.
Certainly.
And so, well, if you're female, you'll be a mother.
I mean, quite seriously, Thomas has a point here. Like, the problem I actually had with the video game was it was really hard for me to absorb the character. The basis of the story is basically a father loses his son.
And, well, aren't they also going through, like, five different characters or something?
Yes, but it's all around the central storyline of this kid being kidnapped, basically. And there's so much toil in the actor's persona about losing his son that it makes me just terrified to think about what it would be like to be in that situation.
Wait, you thought the actor's portrayal of the character's, like, grief was what... That's what got you?
Well, no, just in as a whole... The video game did a really good job of conveying that to me.
Wait, are you saying like it made you do button presses to make him cry or something?
No. Let me think about what I wanted to say.
I mean, I think the game conveys its emotion mostly through its music. I thought that was the game's strong suit rather than like the voice acting, which admittedly is very dodgy at times.
For some of the characters, I agree.
Yeah, but because especially when they go to when kids talk in that game, it's pretty sketchy.
Yeah, but kids are never too good in video games.
But like, actually,
I mean, but you can cast adults to play kids, and it works a lot of the time.
I guess what I mean is, as a whole, like this, the facial expressions and stuff like that made the characters so much more real, lifelike.
Yeah, that's
which,
true.
And then some of the voice acting was really believable. You know, there weren't any terrible like. Darth Vader, no
moments.
There
was origami killer all the time.
That was annoying, but I could forgive that because it was almost standard throughout the entire thing.
Except for a couple characters.
Yeah.
You call it the origami killer, and it's like, why do you have to get it right, but no one else?
But, like, the music, the facial expressions, the believability of the characters, the realisticness of the situation, like, it all came together into this thing that basically, you know, despite the fact that I'm obviously not a father, it made me... really invested in this character and almost able to understand that type of plight, that terrifying prospect of losing your son, being invested in a
well, not just that, like all the other situations in the game too. Like, mm-hmm. there's so many times where you feel like pressed for time, you know, or you need to do something, or really bad stuff is going to happen to you, so you have to scramble around and figure out what to do really quickly. Like, I remember this one where. You know, you're in a store and the police are coming and you need to remove all traces of you being there. So you have to scramble around the apartment and wipe off your fingerprints from anything. Like, that got my heart racing.
Yeah.
Even though what you're doing is just slowly walking around a room and, like, mashing a button real quick to wipe off the objects. Like, you're racking your brain to remember all these things.
Did you get everything?
That you touched. No, I didn't.
Yeah,
I forgot
what did you
one
miss?
Thing.
What'd you miss?
I forgot a phone in the back
Me
of the
too.
Room.
That's the exact one I missed. So, there are a lot of moments in that game where it... I know this word is overused, but it really is visceral. Like, it really does get your heart rate up. It really makes you invest in what's going on. Are you sure we shouldn't talk about spoilers?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's only been a month. I mean...
I guess. Yeah, well, that's true.
We can talk about stuff early in the game.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah, that's true. So, like you said, so he's a father of two children, two boys.
Mm-hmm.
And... you go to the mall.
Let's not talk about the story, because people know that. Yeah. Just talk about what you...
Okay, so one of the biggest things for me was when you lose one of your kids in the crowd in a mall.
Okay, we just talked about that for, like, the last 5 minutes.
No, we didn't talk about that.
You said, oh my god, it was so emotional.
Oh,
that...
I was going off on a different tangent. I didn't realize I was tying back into that.
Oh.
But,
well, Thomas said... You know, I feel like I was
I ignored
the father
what Thomas was
when...
saying. Okay, I didn't realize I was Sorry. Commenting on that.
Whatever.
What I said is pretty sweet, though.
Yeah.
You shouldn't have missed it.
No, I shouldn't.
Okay. Well, all right. So, it does have this great ability to grab you into this and make you invested in these characters and story. What I want to know is, like, when you are doing these actions, like you said, you were really captivated and, like, focused on what you were doing. You didn't even notice you were playing a game. When you missed a prompt and it like broke you out, did that completely take you out of it? Or
that almost never happened to me.
Okay.
Thomas, like, is all awesome.
I mean, I screwed up prompts a lot. It might have been I chose the middle difficulty.
Oh.
I've heard a lot of people pick like the one where it's like I'm very familiar with games and whatnot. But what that seems to boil down to is it makes the requirements for doing little analog stick movements more specific.
Okay.
So you like can miss things more often. So I only found myself missing once in a while, and when that did happen, it didn't bother me. Usually it was like because of my own fault or something.
Yeah. I guess
but
I see what
it was more just to Kyle, since he didn't even feel like he was playing a game, if that did happen and he had the game.
I see what you're saying. There was a peripheral sense of the fact I was playing a video game, just like there's always a peripheral sense of the fact that you're watching a movie.
Sure.
So, like,
well, I wouldn't say that always, because there are movies that I've seen where I just don't even remember I'm in a theater until it's over.
Really?
So,
I wish I had that sensation. I guess, to me, I understood that my actions were my own. And so when I screwed up, I understood that I screwed up and that it didn't necessarily break the value of the thing I was playing. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, so, like, I don't think it's fair to say, like, Heavy Rain's like a movie, because you don't feel, like, when you watch a movie, you're passive. You know? In Heavy Rain, you feel like you are the person on screen a lot of time. Like, there are sequences where someone will talk to you, and, like, early on in the game, when you first lose your kid, when he gets kidnapped, the police are interrogating you, like, asking you what he was wearing. And you just... And all of a sudden, you, like, you think back, like, you're this character. You're trying to remember, what was your son wearing that day? And, like, for me, I couldn't really remember.
Me neither.
They don't point that out to you in the scene.
Right.
And so, like, that also, it makes you feel really guilty, too. So it really makes you try to feel what the character's
and
feeling.
On top
so you
of
never,
that.
I never felt like I'm just watching a character going through this. I felt like I was the character, I was controlling him, you know?
Right.
On top of that, like, that exact scene, and it's not like these options are calmly swirling around your head. They're like jangled in your brain, and you really can't even read them when you're trying. And I'm like sitting back and I have to lean forward just to try to see what the options are. And it's like,
and you're kind of panicking, because if you don't pick something, the game just picks something for you.
Yeah. And, and, or, you know, maybe if I say the wrong thing, like, and then it's basically like Thomas said, it just kind of can jangle your nerves at certain points. And that is something that, I mean, I guess I have that sometimes in video games, but it's never such an investment. Like, playing a scary game, like, I'll get nervous, like, when I'm about to turn a corner. But there's really nothing to be afraid of in answering a question, you know, in this video game, really. I mean, unless you're in a situation that you know it's life-threatening, but I was just answering questions to a cop, and yet I felt that nervousness.
And it's because you feel like, for me, it was just because I felt guilty, because it's like, oh, like,
why can't I remember that?
Like, this... I'm supposed to be playing a guy, and this is supposed to be my kid. Like, I want this character to be a good dad.
Yeah.
And I can't remember. And it's just like, oh, God, this is
But
terrible.
I'm a terrible dad.
Well, Ethan was a terrible dad.
No, it was you.
Oh, it was me. Shit. But, I mean...
Never have kids.
God, I just... I'm really glad to see this game, like, selling well and everything, too, because I really want to see not only this studio, but hopefully other studios try something more like this. Like, it's really encouraging to see something that's completely new succeed.
Like
that rarely happens.
I remember seeing the demo at PAX, and
you do, because I do too.
And
snarky.
I remember being my initial reaction is, why am I in a convenience store? You know, what is
that's the first reason, like, thing you think of when you're playing a demo.
Well, like that demo specifically. Like, I was just
because
like,
that's such a non-video game.
It is, like you said, mundane.
Okay. Yeah.
You know, and that mundaneness starts to go away. You really, it doesn't matter that this action doesn't necessarily.
I mean, I just want to be fair. I don't think the game is mundane most of the time. It's mostly very.
That's
crazy,
exactly what I'm
I'm talking. When I said mundane, I'm saying like brushing a dude's hair or something.
Yeah. I mean, it does have that, which just stands in contrast to the crazy stuff.
Right.
Yeah. It's not a big part of the game, I would argue, though. What were you saying, Kyle? I'm sorry.
I know that it's not mundane. I'm saying that my initial reaction to seeing somebody in a convenience store at the demo was, wow, why am I doing this mundane thing? Mm-hmm. And it totally, totally outlives that misconception. Like, that game just kind of blew me away.
All right, cool.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely hope that the voice acting is stronger in the studio's next game.
You know,
That's such a minor gripe compared to everything else that game does.
I never even really noticed it that much. Even with the ones that were probably the worst were the children. Uh-huh. There were a couple of children who had heavy French accents.
Okay.
And it
were they not French?
No.
Okay.
And you're supposed to... I imagined it being in, like, metropolitan New York or something.
Okay.
Basically, that's the only one I noticed that was terrible. And even then, uh-huh. I mean, they're children, so I really didn't think about it that much. And
Children suck anyway.
It would be amazing if they found a higher level of professional voice acting to match everything else in that video game. Like, especially, there's this weird thing they do in between each scene where they show the faces of the character you're about to play.
Yeah, it's like the loading screen, right?
And there are these weird, these incredible nuances they have in the facial expressions. That,
well, yeah, it's all motion captured. Yeah, so it's like actual mannerisms.
Yeah, okay.
It looks incredible. And right. I think you're right in the sense that there could be a higher level of voice acting, but it didn't bother
me. Yeah, but I mean, like, this game's such a good first step. Like, I'm not worried about that being a problem in the future.
So it's a good game. People should play it. Yes. Yeah. What I want to get into now is, what do you feel about David Cage saying that people shouldn't replay the game, like, once they get through it?
I mean, well, I heard he was on one of the 1UP podcasts recently, where he sort of retracted that statement.
Oh, he did?
He was like, okay. I mean, like, that's, he said basically, like, this is how I would do it, but if you want to play it your other way, just go for it.
Right. I just thought it was interesting that he said, you know, since there are so many little things that change between what your different actions are between people, that going through it again, just, like, do your one, and, like, that's unique to you, or whatever.
I mean, that's definitely what I wanted to do from the beginning, regardless of what he said, because, you know, playing it again would definitely break the illusion somewhat.
Oh,
you'd,
sure.
You'd see where, like, the switches and, like,
and
trips are that change the, how the story plays out, and it might seem a little more, like, fragmented or something.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I can definitely see, like, the validity of that, you know, that method of playing.
You know, I was actually disappointed that you enveloped it up as soon as pretty much as soon as I finished, because I think I was going to play through it again.
Oh, really?
But I understand the fact that playing through it again will almost entirely alter the way you go about performing in the game.
I mean,
because
it seems like...
you know, I mean, we're going to have to talk about one of my favorite parts of this game in another podcast, but it will entirely alter the way you perceive characters in that video game.
Sure.
It will, I mean, because so much of the character itself is your own thought process.
Yeah, it's you.
Like,
through
you,
these choices.
I had an experience of attributing characteristics to a character that were totally out of line. Like, they were totally not his character. And as soon as I found out exactly who he was in the video game, I was like, wait a second.
That's me.
Like, why did I presume that, you know, this guy was bad when he wasn't? He was one of the good guys, you know, so, like...
We're bordering on spoilers here. So
yeah.
That's why I switched it. I mean, basically, all I'm saying is, if you play it again, it will entirely alter the way you perceive characters.
Plus, you already know, like, who characters are.
You know how it will end, basically. It's just, like, the ending changes, like, in terms of small scenes. Like, I watched Kyle finish his game, and our endings were relatively similar, but the overall outcome, like, you're either gonna save the kid or you're not. Like,
okay,
that's not a huge spoiler to say.
Yeah,
you know, and once you determine that, like, the ending isn't gonna change dramatically.
And then my other question was, how do you feel about him saying, like, he's done with Heavy Rain and he's ready to do something else?
I encourage that.
Yeah.
I mean, in fact,
this is not a game that needs, like,
a sequel. Yeah, that's
absolutely not. This is something that is, I mean, I entirely understand the idea of not even playing it again and using it as a standalone piece of almost art and just moving on.
Getting into
what
art as games.
Like,
let's not go there.
Okay.
No. All right. Well, it's good. And that studio is good. All right.
yes. Now, you know what it made me really want to do? I really want to finish Indigo Prophecy.
All right, good.
Yeah.
Because that was a gift I gave you.
Yes.
I wanted to play it.
Damn it, asshole.
So, I remembered something I didn't talk about that I played before the last show.
Yeah.
Which was the Blur multiplayer beta.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So,
what's Blur?
Blur is, imagine, you know what Project Gotham Racing is, right? So, imagine that with, like, Mario Kart.
Oh, okay, cool.
So basically, you're in these licensed cars, and you're going around the track, and you get power-ups, and then you can beat shit up.
Nice.
Shoot rockets and whatnot, right?
Wait a second. Did we talk about this before? In brief? Like, maybe you played the beta or something?
I don't know.
Ah, whatever. Go ahead.
Oh, did we talk about it on the podcast?
Talk more. I'm curious.
Oh, jeez. If we did, I apologize. yeah, I mean, so it does... It's pretty fun. I mean, it does capture some of what playing Mario Kart with a bunch of friends would be like.
Mm-hmm.
Only this game allows for up to 20 people at a time, and that makes it absolutely
online,
crazy.
Right?
Yeah, online.
20 player split screen.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, that would be sweet. But yeah, and that definitely makes it hectic because when everyone can launch their powers at like the same time, and you've got like a group of six cars, and they all use the shunt, which is just sort of this like push back around your car,
mm-hmm.
and so like everyone just goes like boosh, and like jams against the walls, and like then you hit yours, and so try to get them back and stuff.
Mm-hmm. That's cool.
And yeah,
is it a realistic looking driver? Like
with the exception of the weapons. I mean,
yeah,
the
so
cars,
it's
the
more
cars
of a,
are real.
Okay, it's more
cars.
Of a simulator than, say, like...
No. Well, no. No, it's an arcade racer. It just has licensed cars that are in real life. But they've got, like, you know, racing add-ons onto them to make them look more sporty or whatever.
Yeah, extreme.
Spoilers.
Sure. Yeah. And then the online, since this is only a multiplayer beta, since they're working out their netcode or whatever, and... the actual online lobbies and stuff work a lot like Call of Duty.
Oh, really?
In that, like, you've got everyone, after a match, they all stay in the same lobby,
mm-hmm.
and then you vote, you can vote on the next map, and then, like, there's a counter going down as soon as the race ends, so mm-hmm. you're quickly going into new races.
Mm-hmm. That's cool.
And then you can, they got perks, essentially.
Yeah.
So, like...
Seems like everybody's
you can make
doing
your,
that.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I mean, for a racing game, it's different.
Yeah.
And so it'll make them more like aggressive or faster or whatever, and like little different touches, like
so just in like stat in boosts, you know, speed, braking.
Not quite, because you know? One of them is like when you start a race, you'll automatically have a power up.
Okay. Yeah.
So
yeah.
It's like little things like that.
Perks. If you will.
Yes. it's a fun game, and in like the way they do the lobby system, it makes it very easy to sink time into it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it'll be interesting to see more of it, I guess. Mm-hmm. But that's all I really have to say.
Yeah, is that beta still even going?
I think so. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I'm not sure when the game actually releases.
What's it for?
It's for 360.
Huh. Is there a demo
as well?
No, it's only
just
360.
Okay.
Yeah.
From what right, because the PGR guys are only
owned
by Microsoft, aren't they?
Bizarre Creations.
Are they owned by Microsoft? I don't even remember.
They're the Geometry Wars guys
as well. I
guess
they are.
All right, maybe. Yeah, yeah. Let's say yes.
Okay.
You guys know more about the industry than I do, so.
So, yeah, that was pretty fun. I don't know. Those sorts of games... I don't usually buy because they are more, I feel, of like party games that you get like four friends on the same screen or whatever.
Yeah, that game does that split screen though, I've heard.
Yeah, it does.
So that's good.
I'm not saying it doesn't, but I'm just saying like that's when I play those games, it's usually, oh yeah, I'm at this person's house who has it.
Yeah.
So, yeah. But the fact that it does have 20 online, like that does make it more appealing if you... Just by yourself, so.
Yeah, you gave me a beta code for that, and I haven't used it yet.
Oh, yeah.
Which I apologize about, but I can repay you. I have a StarCraft beta code if you'd like it.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Actually,
wait.
Actually really wanted to... You could just play on Thomas's, yeah.
That's true.
That's actually funny you mentioned that, because I still want to play an RTS and, like, be good at it, but... I know that won't happen with StarCraft.
Well, unless you figure...
Can we play with bots?
Not in the beta.
Damn.
I know, that's...
I'm so screwed.
But I mean, I think... I haven't played enough of StarCraft to get, like, placed in a league yet.
Oh, okay.
Like, I haven't even done 5 matches yet. Oh. But I think after you do that, you know, you start...
Yeah, you'll be in, like, bronze or
whatever. You'll be hooked up with people who are your skill level, so it shouldn't be too bad.
Yeah. See, the
for me, is, like, the worst players. On
the problem is, Brad from Giant Bomb was talking about the game and how you have... He was basically saying, if you want to, like, have a chance, you have to learn the hotkeys, and that just was, like, a huge, like, stop sign for me.
Which is why I'm going to be playing at the lowest of the low brackets.
Because... I can't do that. I play with a mouse, unfortunately. Like, I may learn one or two hotkeys that I may use, but other than, oh god, I'll be the one who's just staring at his units like, hey, yeah, these things are neat.
Yeah, yeah. I'm the same way.
So
telephone.
Hey.
So what's another game you guys have been playing? We'll ignore that. Blur was pretty fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
I have to say, though,
if you have a chance, play it, I guess.
And your brief mention of StarCraft, I was really intrigued by Thomas playing that. And that's going to be like a $60 game at retail, right?
50.
50?
What's Activision? It might be 60.
Ugh.
You think?
It's possible.
Well, I guess they can get away with it if it's StarCraft.
I mean, I should probably start at a lower level, but that looked really awesome to me. And
we should find an RTS game that's cheaper just to let you know what they're like.
You mentioned DEFCOM, right?
Oh, yeah, that's not an RTS game.
No. Okay.
But I think a good one to start with seems to be Dawn of War 2.
Dawn of War.
Because you only manage a small squad of units.
Okay.
It's not like a traditional RTS. There's no base building.
Okay.
Like, you know how you control a unit in Torchlight?
Yeah.
Imagine doing that with several units.
Okay.
And then you've got, like, different powers for your guys.
Yeah. Like, the thing is,
Dawn of War 2 also has regular RTS base building stuff as the multiplayer.
Oh, really?
There's co-op, which is the squad stuff, but online... Yeah. Is base building.
I didn't realize there was base building in that game.
Yeah, I kind of want to get that game now. Because I did play the demo for that a while back, and I did enjoy it a lot.
Yeah.
So
there was a weird deal on the UK site for THQ or something, where you could get the game for $3, and it was a Steam code that would work in America.
What?
But I tried to use it, and it didn't work. It would reject my payments every time.
So it doesn't work in America.
It worked for some people on on message boards. I was just too late. Like, they ran out of codes.
Damn.
Lame.
I know. I was so excited.
I really want that.
But
right.
Yeah.
Anyways. Yeah, because cool. I've also heard a lot. I've started talking to more people in the Idle Thumbs community.
Oh, yeah.
And they're big on Dawn of War 2. And it just sounds really good.
Yeah. I played the demo for a little while, and I liked it well enough. I just didn't want to pay full price for it.
Yeah.
But once it's on like a Steam sale or something, I'm jumping all over it.
Maybe it's... Is it still sold at Best Buy?
Probably.
For PC?
I don't see why it wouldn't be.
Ooh, I might get that.
Sweet.
So I have some money for there. Anyways.
But speaking of Best Buy, I went to buy a game there the other day.
What did you buy?
I bought God of War 3.
That's
shit. And wait, really?
Yeah, I did.
Sick. Have you started playing it?
No.
Okay.
That's why I brought it up, because I was playing it.
Oh, damn it.
Wait, so you have your PS3 here?
Yeah.
So we can go to your house and start playing it?
Yeah.
Theoretically, yes.
Okay.
But
podcast over.
Man, God of War 3 is fun.
Yeah.
I mean, the thing is
God of War.
Yeah, that's
is
the thing.
Is it really
is,
pretty?
Yeah.
Is the scope really big? Like, you're fighting huge enemies?
It's like Heavy Rain, kind of.
Oh.
You're in like a police station. No.
Okay. Cool.
Yeah.
Does he go to a convenience store and he's like,
yeah,
and the guy threatens him
and
with
this
a
guy shows up and he threatens the cashier, and Kratos rips his head off.
Yes.
Oh, sweet.
It's pretty cool.
And then he asks for like a slushy, but it gives him the wrong flavor.
He's like,
so
this
he has
isn't
to
Red
cut Kratos that guy's
flavor,
friend.
So he kills that guy.
Yeah, so he kills that guy too.
Isn't there a God of War slushy now? I think there is.
Are you serious?
I thought there
Let's
was.
Let's go get a God of War
what,
slushy.
What, it tastes like blood?
Yeah, I hope so.
Oh, man.
It at least better be red.
And
be
like awesome. Chunks of meat.
Yeah.
Oh, delicious.
But yeah, I mean, the thing with God of War 3 is like...
Yeah, instead of ice, it's meat mixed in with the blood.
Like, God of War 3 is like... basically God of War 2 with like minor tweaks to the combat system in terms of how it plays. Like,
but it's still fun, right?
Oh man. it's yeah.
Did you ever finish 2? I can't
I got
remember.
Very close.
I know we
but well. I know how that game ends already.
Okay.
Okay.
And so I just decided, you know what? I'm just going to jump into 3 cuz well, also like
you're having trouble, weren't you?
No, I got past the parts where I was having trouble. I just stopped. So I picked up 3. But I mean, I know Kyle, you were interested in playing God of War, right? The beginning of that game is not welcoming to new fans.
Really?
Yeah,
is it hard or is it boring?
Because
no,
the first
it's
thing
more
you...
they talk about what happens in
well,
the first.
No, it's not even it's not that
bit.
At all. It's
really?
Like it's what you're doing. It's how the game plays. Like the first thing you do in that game is you fight a boss.
Oh,
that is the first thing in the game.
Oh, well.
And I hadn't played God of War in like 8 months or something.
Uh-huh.
It was the hardest part of the game so far.
Oh, really?
It was really hard. I mean, after a while, like all the bosses in God of War are just pattern memorization. You know, you see what attack they're doing and you dodge correctly. But I got killed like 8 times probably.
Shit.
Oh, wow. First boss. Because it was multiple phases too, so I died 8 times like cumulatively.
Do you go back to the beginning or to
no?
The beginning
there's checkpoints. But
okay, that's good.
Sometimes if you die, it'll like spawn you back with like a quarter health. Assholes. It did that at the very end of the fight for me, so
oh, God.
That made that part really hard.
I have a question. So wait,
so like,
is this going to be like not conducive to me being able to start the game?
You'll be able to beat it. It's just like it doesn't just teach you a lot about the combat. Like you fight a couple grunt enemies before the boss fight, but you don't get enough. You don't get a feel for like the combos. I would imagine if you haven't played the game before,
right? It sort of assumes that you've played the.
It definitely ones assumes you played the other ones because like also the story picks up immediately after 2.
Right.
It's easy enough to catch up because like there's a lot of allusions to what happens in the previous games.
I mean, frankly, I really want to play 1 or 2, so maybe should I just do that?
How much is
the... I mean, the thing is, though...
It's about $35, the 2 and 1
oh,
for the PS3. Okay.
The thing is with that is, like, if you played all through, like, 2, which
it
is
would get boring.
The best one on PS2, there would not be a dramatic difference when you started 3, and right. So you might get, like, fatigue.
The big thing is, like, they're so similar that if you play a whole lot of it, you're going to be burned out.
Okay.
But, I mean, like, the small tweaks in this game are freaking awesome. They're, like, so cool. Like,
name one.
There's a lot of ways that make you more like mobile on the battlefield. So like you can grab a guy and like use him as a battering ram and like charge through a crowd of people and like smash his head into the wall that you hit at the end. So you
does
can,
it
like,
go on forever until you hit a wall?
No, he'll just throw him if you don't hit a wall soon enough. But
that's also good when you throw him off a ledge after.
There's also like a grab you can use with your like chain blades. You like latch them onto an enemy and you like pull yourself to them so you cover a big gap like really quickly and you can just start up a combo right after that.
Nice. Is there a targeting system in there?
You target with your bow.
Okay.
Otherwise you just look at
it. So you're just looking at a guy.
Yeah.
Well, the thing is the range on the weapons are really
big. And so. I mean the thing is speaking of that, like in God of War 2 there were some alternate weapons. There was like a pole arm and a big hammer and maybe something else. I didn't get that far. But the problem with those weapons is like they were not nearly as effective as your like chain blades, which had huge range and like ridiculous power. But in this game, the alternate weapons are all like in the same vein as your chain blades.
Okay.
Like you get like hooks on chains or like gauntlets that can extend a little bit.
Nice.
So like the way you fight remains very similar, but it changes the combos you can do and like the properties of your attacks.
And it probably looks badass. Like all different ones.
Well, the game always tends to look pretty
badass,
awesome, but, God of War 2 or 3, but the weapons just are a lot more effective, so you're not just sticking with your chain blades throughout the whole game, which is really cool.
That's
Think maybe I'll have you like counsel me through that first boss and see how it goes.
What I have a question on is is there like progression with the weapons? Like do they upgrade by how much you use
them?
Like
in the other games you earn like blood orbs when you kill things. You spend those on upgrades.
Okay, so but the thing is, since the weapons are more balanced from the start, you're more likely to like preference something else rather than
because a lot of them are also useful in like certain situations. Uh-huh. Like one weapon breaks shields easily, so if shield enemies show up, you're gonna use that one. I mean, you don't have to, but it's way better
than that
one. So I'm finding myself switching between. I have 3 of them currently, and I'm switching between them pretty regularly. Because, you know, like, their range changes, and some enemies you want to stay farther away or whatnot. So it's really cool. But it's, like, the moment-to-moment stuff you're doing is very similar to the previous games. It's like, you're moving from room to room, killing everything that's in it, moving on. There's probably a navigation puzzle, you know, or you're moving blocks or turning cranks and whatever. So...
Damn you, Zeus.
I definitely feel like I've done it before, but at the same time, like... It was so well done, back in the day. Like, God of War 2 was so ahead of its time, I feel like, that, like, it's like that formula still holds up today, even if it's not quite as mind-blowing.
Okay. I wonder how blown my mind is going to be if I just play God of War 3. I'm like, guys, you have no idea how awesome this game is, and you're like,
if you like
violence,
you will like it, because this game seems to be way more violent than the previous ones.
Really?
I think so. Just because like the higher fidelity visuals, they show a lot more.
Plus,
gore.
You get to see a dude's head get ripped off.
I have a question.
That's not even the worst.
That's
part.
Actually that's one of the questions I have. That I've seen the demo through. Is that the first part of the game you
do? No, that's like a little bit in, a couple hours in, probably. But yeah, that game's vicious.
So, vicious, like, and good.
Some of the end of the boss fights, I'm just like, oh my god, this is terrible.
Kratos is angry.
Yeah.
Kratos angry. I'm a little curious, though. After, I saw a lot of corollaries between God of War and Darksiders.
Heavy Rain. Oh.
No, not Heavy Rain. That, damn, there's so much origami in God of War 3.
I know.
Shit.
That's like one, that's the one hobby. That's the one hobby of Kratos's. That's like peaceful. It's his origami.
Once he stops killing
people. But just, once he finishes the origami, he then uses it to slice people's faces off.
I just pictured Kratos doing a rain dance.
That's weird. Yeah. What were you saying?
That's not even related.
So I'm wondering if there's going to be any bleed over between like Darksiders and what I've seen of God of War.
Very, very.
Yeah, no.
Okay.
Like Darksiders puzzles are very Zelda-esque.
Yeah.
God of Wars are similar, but a very different style.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, those games are, you can compare them in terms of their visuals and like the combat a little bit, but like, let's be honest, like God of War is kind of in a different league.
Okay.
Like the combat in God of War is so much more like nuanced than it is in Darksiders.
Okay.
Like there's so many,
what do you mean by that?
Like there's so many different strategies you can make use of.
It's okay.
Different weapons that are useful in different situations. You have more options.
Okay.
It's also like the main focus is
the
combat.
It's also the focus of the game rather than like this adventure that Darksiders is or whatever, you know? Like the combat's not a focus in a Zelda game. And the same stands true for Darksiders.
Very true. Fucking Zelda combat.
But, like, you will definitely like God of War 3, but I imagine it'll be a hump to get through that.
Can you switch difficulty after you pick it in the beginning? Damn it.
You can switch down difficulty, but you can't switch back up.
Oh, that's weird.
That's lame.
Well, like, if you die 10 times...
Dude, whatever, Kyle, you're probably going to
it adjusts itself just for that battle?
No, it'll say, do you want to go to easy forever?
Oh, man, that would be amazing.
Yeah.
That sucks.
Apparently, if you're on hard, it'll also ask you to go to easy. It doesn't go to normal.
Yeah.
Which is funny.
You suck so bad, we're just going to downgrade you all the way. It's terrible.
That's great.
Oh.
We should start Kyle on hard.
No, you're an ass.
Because the thing is, like, after that first boss fight... Like, I'm not having a whole lot of trouble.
Yeah.
I died on one boss twice, and then the rest of my deaths have been, like, jumping around.
Yeah,
because the platforming is not great, because the camera is always fixed.
Yeah.
Oh, so
that's... sometimes you're jumping, like, diagonally, which, and I like to jump straight forward.
Yes.
So, you have to jump diagonally while it's looking, like...
Like, you have a diagonal view, behind you. And you have to jump in a diagonal. It's usually not that bad.
Uh-huh.
But, like, once in a while, I'll miss a jump, and I'll just be like, man, what the hell?
Yeah. Fucking shit.
But... it's really fun.
Thomas can't jump.
It is really fun.
White man can't jump.
And some of the bosses, like, take forever, so when you finally take them down, you feel so satisfied.
Yeah?
Yeah. Oh, that's cool.
Like,
stuff.
A couple of the bosses have, like, you know, two or three different forms, and so by the time you're done, you're just like, yeah, asshole, you deserve it. Give me a weapon and your head and your guts.
And everything.
You.
Your bones, too. Give me your pelvis. I'm going to wear your pelvis as
like,
a
I
necklace.
Know, like, this is terrible to say, but after all, like the violence.
Like a neck brace?
I said necklace.
I know you said necklace,
but I guess you could wear it
as a neck
brace,
too. I would assume like a pelvis would be better suited as a neck brace.
Put a chain through the pelvis.
What are you
and wear
talking
the
about?
No, what I'm saying is it would be better suited as a neck brace. That would be more protection.
Sure, I'm down.
What were you saying?
Well, whatever. Jesus. What I was saying is, like, during the boss fights, you know, after you're like, this guy's like just giving you shit for like 20 minutes because it's a long boss fight, and you're just, once you finally, like,
giving you shit, he's like, God, Kratos, you
can't
beat me.
He's making fun of your mom, he's calling you fat. You know, so by the time, you know, you just like, you end up just brutalizing every boss at the end of the fight, and just like, you kind of feel really like... just,
it's almost like a vengeful
you're
thing.
Really satisfied. Yeah. And just like, yeah. Just
Thomas like, is like, take that, fifth grade bully.
Like, yeah. You deserved it. Yeah. But I mean, which
you
is
deserved
weird, which is weird because like, I don't... because
Kratos' motives are like...
that's the thing.
None.
Like, I don't care about Kratos' motives at all.
He doesn't have them though.
Not really. Like,
he just wants to kill
He kind of did in the first couple games, but in this one...
this one he doesn't.
No, it's like, Zeus has to die because I said so.
Yeah.
And
daddy,
so but you know, once in a while, like a boss will show up, and he'll just like be just a dick to Kratos. He's like, "Yeah, I want
to
kill him."
Like, wait, do you mean a dick isn't hard to kill, or he's like legitimately?
No, he'll
like,
just be like, he'll like make fun
smarmy.
Of him. Or
hey,
just be,
Kratos,
like,
what happened to your face?
Something like that.
Someone take a dump on it.
Chain to the face.
So it's
and
cool.
Kratos
I mean,
just goes like, "Ah,
yeah."
I'm definitely getting kind of tired of QuickTime events.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I mean, they're
after playing Heavy Rain.
No, not heavy rain. Kidding. Didn't bother me.
I know.
Do those qualify as QuickTime events?
Kind of. Yeah. I mean, the problem is, it's just like in God of War, the button presses rarely correspond to anything you're doing.
Oh,
it's just okay. like you know, you'll do an executing move, and like, you know, if you kill a Minotaur, there's like two button press you have to do, and those button presses are always just randomized.
Okay.
They never really correspond to anything.
That's actually,
sometimes they do, where it's like you're rotating a stick to like wrestle into the ground, right, or something, but like when you hit triangle to like flip over him and cut his jaw off or whatever, you know, it's not any different than hitting X, you know.
Whatever.
It feels like I'm playing, it takes me out of the game a lot.
I can understand that.
It's like playing Simon.
Yeah,
because
you totally believe your Kratos cutting these dudes up.
Thomas wants to.
You feel
in
control of the combat until the QuickTime events come up, and it's like, Simon says, you know.
Here's one question I've, do they incorporate like 6-axis controls at all?
I don't remember. No, I don't think so.
All right, good. I'm done with talking about that.
Yeah.
What about you, Kyle?
That's pretty much what
I'm really glad that I'll probably get to try God of War.
All right, cool.
Oh, shit.
I'm really glad that I'll probably get to try God of War 3 before I touch Dante's Inferno.
Why are you going to touch Dante's Inferno?
Because I want to give it a shot.
Why?
I'm going to be honest. I've played some of Dante's Inferno, and I've played God of War. Do not play Dante's Inferno if you're going to play God of War.
Well, no, I'm just saying I'm glad that I won't get a misconception that Dante's Inferno did anything original by playing God of War.
Wait, are you saying you're going to play Dante's Inferno at all?
Some, I'd like to.
Boom. I would recommend against that.
Really? It's that bad?
Compared to God of War or even Bayonetta, yes.
Okay. Why did we mail back Bayonetta?
Because I didn't have time to play it. I'd rather play Heavy Rain.
Okay, good call.
What did you have instead?
Nothing now.
You bitch. Get back Bayonetta.
It could happen. It's just I wanted to play Heavy Rain.
I want to play Bayonetta.
You don't live
because
with us.
I'm living with you guys. And I have a say.
Once every 2 weeks he lives with us, so we should accommodate him.
That's right.
No.
So going back to StarCraft, so you haven't played anymore?
No.
All right.
Like, 'cause after our last podcast, I think Pokemon came out.
Oh, right.
And that was an excellent segue.
Yeah, look at that.
He didn't even make a segue. God damn it.
Way to, like, just shoot me in the foot while I'm doing it.
Speaking of which, this came out. Nice segue.
God, you asshole. So, speaking of StarCraft Pokemon.
StarCraft 2 Pokemon Wars.
I got Pokemon Soul Silver.
Oh, was Silver your choice back then?
I played Silver when I was like 10 or whatever, yeah. Also, Lugia looks way cooler than Ho-Oh.
Sorry, what was
given
the name?
Ho-Oh has Ho in her name.
Ho-Oh?
I think that's how you pronounce it. H-O-O-H.
God damn, Ho-Oh. That's a horrible name.
I know.
Ho-Oh.
Uh-oh, it's Ho-Oh.
Yeah. It's Pokemon.
I'm frowning right now.
Like, you know me, I love the Pokemon games.
Yep. I love the Pokemon.
And Gold and Silver is my favorite generation of the series, and this one's a remake of that.
And so you're like,
So it's pretty good. It's really good. But like,
Thomas is pelvic thrusting Pokemon. Hot.
Yep. But there's really not a whole lot to say about the actual game.
Yeah.
Like, I have more to say about, like, the Pokewalker accessory that comes with it.
Well, alright, we'll get to the Pokewalker.
Will we?
Do you like the visual update? Is that significant, or is that basically the same?
It brought it up to par to Diamond and Pearl.
Okay, so it is,
which
like
is saying something. In comparison,
well,
to Gold and Silver.
Be saying something considering the previous games were out like 10 years ago.
Yeah, also
more than that. Probably
also, it's probably not very hard to make it the same as a game they already made.
Like, yeah, the visuals are not jaw dropping. You know, they're still using like very similar sprites to the previous Pokemon games.
What everything. About like updates to mechanics? You mentioned that it feels faster.
The battles are like a tiny, tiny bit faster.
Only
like,
a tiny bit?
I went back to play Diamond because I needed to get an item to transfer over to the new game. And the battles in that one they feel a little more sluggish than in the new game.
Uh-huh.
But like, if you picked up Soul Silver and you hadn't played Pokemon Diamond or Pearl in like 8 months or whatever, you're not going to notice the difference.
Okay.
So it's not substantially
faster. So it does
faster.
Feel slow.
It is relatively slow. Okay. But that's like just the style
poo-poo.
Of Pokemon, you know?
Poo-poo.
Yeah, poo-poo.
They need to update it to not be poo-poo.
Yeah.
They need to update it to ROM speed.
Yeah, that was actually going to ask. How much worse is it compared to instant?
Considering you're playing it like, what, times 1,000 speed?
Yeah.
It's 1/1,000th of your game speed.
Shit.
Yeah, I'm afraid to say.
Not interested.
How much time have you put into that game? Actually, multiply it by 1,000.
Yeah, it's funny because I have my Charizard is a 50, I think. And
I don't even have a 50 level guy yet.
The save file is at like 52 minutes.
Nice. Screw you. God damn it. My highest level guy is a 47 and I've logged 50 hours.
Oh, which blows my mind because.
Wow.
The funny thing is,
sounds like the worst Pokemon.
I'm managing too many Pokemon at one time, trying to have them all be a high level.
It's awesome because Kyle's like 47, you said?
My highest guy's a 47. It's Palkia. I haven't even leveled him up.
Because I picked up this game a week ago. I've logged 12 hours into it, and my guy's like 40.
How many Pokemon are you managing?
I'm leveling 4 right now.
Yeah, I'm basically leveling like 6 or 8.
Why?
I don't know.
You can't carry that many.
Because like,
no, you can only carry 6.
I like some of the ones that I'm leveling up that are outside my party, but sometimes.
But you
not
can't
useful.
Use them.
I know. I don't know.
They're just gonna rot in your PC.
That's what makes me really sad. You capture all these things, you put them in Pokeballs, and then you just store them.
Well, it's like a zoo.
a zoo of a couple pixels.
I can't remember. did I mention last episode that I caught Snorlax?
Yeah, nice. You did.
I did?
Yeah.
Oh, all right.
Is
that supposed to be hard?
Moderately.
Why?
Well, the thing is, I didn't have an Ultra Ball or whatever I was supposed to use before, and so he just kept breaking out. Anyways, I caught him, and then I named him after a friend on the IRC.
Nice.
Nice. I'm sure you appreciate that.
The Red Gyarados.
Dandelax, huh?
Yeah. For Jim Dandy.
Nice.
Anyways.
That was... Who was it again, Peter?
Jim Dandy. He's now known as Dandelax. To go along with Dismond Lee.
If he's listening.
Yeah, I'll make him listen now.
Yeah. Like, we were mentioned. Yeah. Listen to our damn podcast.
All this guy's doing is ruining everything.
Hey, so what were you saying? Pokemon. Pokewalker.
Oh, yeah. Pokewalker is
gimme.
Weird as hell. Yeah, I had it in my pocket.
Ew.
Yeah, enjoy.
How do I turn it on?
You hold the middle button. Okay. The Pokewalker is basically...
Oh, shit. Machop.
Let me talk.
Dude, shut up.
Dude.
Basically, the Pokewalker
is just... shake it, does that mean he walks?
You have to shake it for a while. It doesn't work as well as just walking. It's basically a pedometer and a Tamagotchi just like mashed into one.
I want.
And you can like link it to your game so you can transfer a dude over and you walk with him and he gains experience.
I have a question. Is this a conspiracy to make gamers exercise more?
I think so.
I think so, yeah.
I saw the commercial for the new Pokemon games on Cartoon Network the other day. No, they have this little kid, like, he gets his Pokewalker, and he's, like, all of a sudden starts running around his neighborhood getting exercise. Like, they don't show him playing the game. Yeah. They show him, like, just running around and, you know, getting fit.
Hey, I'm all for this conspiracy. Frankly, it
don't
might
you also,
be a good thing.
Like, with the steps, don't they turn into watts?
Yeah,
and that's,
the
like,
steps,
currency
the steps
for,
are
like,
in
items.
Currency, which you can then spend within mini-games on this little Tamagotchi to find
mini
items
games?
And catch other Pokemon.
How do I play a mini-game?
They're barely mini-games.
How do I play
Figure it out.
All right.
Work on it.
But,
ass.
I mean, it's definitely cool, and it, like, encourages me to keep playing the game. Because, you know, I can just put that in my backpack or my pocket whenever I go anywhere, and I'll earn...
Especially walking around campus. Like, that's got to be a couple thousand steps a day.
My bad, Something Thomas. Like that. I didn't find any items.
Damn it, Peter.
There's only one attempt left. I'll save that for next time.
So,
Oh, shit, I can't use it.
Right. I
think you should just refrain from giving him things you bring.
You're gonna have to give me that back and keep talking.
So keep talking. I'll show.
I mean, it's nice because you know you can take it wherever you go and you'll earn currency that you can just then dump back into your main game, and it's incentive to keep playing Pokemon because it's like a constant reminder, like, oh, I earned so and so watts on my Pokewalker. I can upload it to my main game and unlock. You unlock new, like, environments that your Pokemon can walk in, which basically means you can find new Pokemon within the Tamagotchi thing.
Wait, so you cannot have a Pokemon trail you everywhere in the game until you unlock them via watts?
No, it's like, when you put a Pokemon on the walker, you choose, like, an environment for them to walk in.
Okay.
Oh, weird.
Like a grassland or a lake.
Oh, okay. So you're in a grassland with this one.
You
right?
ask them to walk in a lake.
Around the lake. Okay. Work with me,
Thomas.
Working on
Thomas, I found a Shellder. Do you want me to capture it?
Sure.
All right.
And so that just determines what items you find and what Pokemon you encounter if you choose to do the mini games.
Okay, okay. So you unlock Environs in the Pokewalker.
Environments.
Environments in the Poke.
Environs.
It's a word, damn it.
The more Watts you accumulate, the more environments you can access in
and
the Pokewalker.
Therefore, the more different
types
of Pokemon.
The rarer types of Pokemon you can get.
Okay, cool.
Like, one of the main guys on my team is a guy that I can only catch through the Pokewalker where I am in.
Who was
I have breaking
an
news.
An Elekid.
Yeah.
Who has now evolved into an Electivire.
And doesn't it turn into an Electabuzz?
Well, he was an Electabuzz. Now he's the third form.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
I need to trade with you to get some of those, like, some of the people you can only get evolved through trading.
Sure.
I have breaking news.
Yeah.
Shellder was caught.
Oh, nice. That's good.
Oh, I can't name it?
I think you should.
You can name it when I put it back in the DS.
Get your DS right now.
It's at my house.
God damn it.
Mine's here.
Let's get it. My game cart isn't here.
Because I was going to name it 3-bit.
Oh, nice.
That would have been awesome.
I can't.
I would have released it.
Thanks.
Oh, you dick. Or traded it to some guy in Japan.
That would have been good. That's like viral marketing for our podcast.
Yeah, there we go.
Wait a second.
Yeah,
that'd
dude,
be awesome.
Just
so
catch
people.
A bunch of Pokemon, call them 3-bit, and give it to
people.
No, no,
no. I'll make their names the URL for our blog.
Yes.
Oh, there you
oh
go.
Oh, my God. That'd be awesome.
It's probably too long.
Probably.
But that'd be awesome. So, like, yeah, it's Pokemon. Whatever. All right.
I wasn't listening.
I know.
It doesn't matter.
It sounds like no one was listening.
I was listening.
Kyle was listening. I heard him conversing. I just didn't know. So it's Pokemon and so is the Pokewalker, like, does it make it interesting?
Yeah.
Like, is it?
Okay. It keeps the game, like, new enough that I'm compelled to keep playing. I mean, I would play it anyway.
Right.
But it makes me more excited to keep playing.
Yeah, because you can have this thing that reminds you, oh, hey.
It enhances the experience,
there
if you
go.
Will.
That thing looks really cool. I'm going to get gold, I think. And it's
$35,
you said?
Something like that.
Cool. I really want to do that.
Get some Ho-Oh.
When are they going to... Yeah, hell yeah. Get some Ho-Oh. Fucking shit.
Ho-Oh.
When are they going to run out of colors?
Then you move on to, like, shapes.
Wait.
Or, like, flavors.
Pokemon
no,
Square.
I have an idea. They
Pokemon
start
Bitter
using...
Pokemon Sour? That'd be pretty good.
What about elements?
Oh, they could do that. They had fire and leaf.
Yeah, they already had fire.
No, no, no. I mean, like, elements on the periodic table.
Oh.
Berkelium.
Yeah.
That'd
uranium.
Be pretty cool.
Pokemon Uranium. That'd be good.
That'd be awesome.
Wait a second. Do you catch Stalin? Like, be kind of cool. Cold War.
What?
Because that's what relates to uranium.
He wanted uranium.
Directly.
Well,
no. He would just be
Pokemon
the...
Stalin
he would
and Pokemon
obviously...
uranium.
Kyle. No. There's a Pokemon named Stalin.
Yeah, he would be the legendary
no,
unboss.
Yeah.
That's... No, I want Pokemon Stalin version.
You
just have dictators.
Wait, yeah. Your guy has a fat mustache?
Like, yeah, like,
he, should he call me the
like there's just this... Stash, and then instead of like a Pokemon following you, you get like a
so, yeah,
communist
like
flag.
Stalin and Mao versions.
Yeah.
Something.
Stalin and Mao.
Do you get a JFK one? That'd be cool.
JFK would be like the. Well.
No.
Be,
maybe that's.
No, he'd be on the cover.
Yeah.
Yeah, nice.
Well, then they could release the super version, you know, like your yellow or crystal and could have like Nazis on it.
Nice.
Oh, cool. Man.
I don't know. Like, Hitler I want to finish.
Yep.
I want to finish Pearl really bad, and I want to play Heart Gold.
Okay. You'll be playing the same game.
I know.
Again, I'm just telling you.
Well, should I not complete the Elite Four in Pearl and just move on to Heart Gold?
Well, I mean, the thing is, like...
It's the same game.
It so depends
exactly
on what you want.
Should I
like,
not...
like, how much more Pokemon are you craving in your life? A
you
lot.
You have a game that you can play.
Yeah, like,
oh,
keep that
like,
in mind.
I figure since you've spent the money on Pokemon Pearl, you might as well play it till the end.
Yeah. Newsflash. I spent way too much time on Pokemon collecting berries recently and creating
why?
Puffins so
wow.
That
oh
I
God,
could
don't talk about
what the
this.
Hell's a puffin?
It's like this power up you can feed to a Pokemon that like increases
it makes it beautiful.
Well, no, you can make it more beautiful, more cool, more like
so
other
dumb.
Things, stupid aesthetic things. And
wait,
the reason...
wait. So it's actually aesthetic. So the
yeah.
pick, like the
no,
art
the things
changes?
Don't change, but it makes them better at winning beauty cards.
They're like hidden stats.
Like, there's this weird thing that I've never tried to navigate before in a Pokemon game, where like you can go to like this pageant with your Pokemon, And like, there's a certain type of Pokeball.
I just want to let you know that this is not interesting.
Thank God this is at the end of the podcast because people aren't listening.
Christ, dude, no, we're not talking about beauty pageants here.
Are you? So you're telling me you've got a 50-hour save?
Yes.
And the majority, let's say, the last 10 hours has been spent getting berries.
Not 10. So you can like 6.
That doesn't make any.
His point still stands.
Yes.
Getting stupid berries mm-hmm. so you can improve stupid stats that don't really exist.
No.
So you can win a beauty pageant.
No,
What does this beauty pageant get you?
It's not useful in that sense. That's not why I'm doing it.
What does it get you?
Keep it brief.
There's a special Pokemon that requires max beauty to evolve. And I have it now. It's very cool.
And now it will rot in your little PC compound. Yeah.
Hell no. I'm using that thing. It's baller.
What is it?
It's a Melodic.
What the fuck?
It's like made a girly a Gyarados.
It's not a girly. It's basically a Dragonair.
Dude, what?
It evolves from a Magikarp looking thing.
Did you say it's a girly Gyarados?
Yeah. No, it looks like a Dragonair.
Fuck that.
It doesn't look like a girly Gyarados.
Fuck that.
It looks like a Dragonair.
I don't care. I'm uninterested.
Yeah, dude,
now.
This is really not interesting.
But actually, so 3DS, hey.
Oh,
that was
yeah,
announced.
Dude. Speaking of interesting.
Speaking of interesting, exactly. What are your thoughts?
Well, we don't know anything about it is the problem.
Yeah, E3 is...
We just have that, like, crummy press release that says nothing other than it exists and has 3D without glasses.
Yeah.
But the idea of 3D without glasses is really cool.
Yeah. What about just the fact that this is effectively the DS2?
That is also good because I was talking to Kyle before you showed up, and the DS desperately needs a hardware upgrade.
Really?
Because, like, Like, Pokemon looks nice and all, but, like, when you compare it to other stuff, like, even on the iPhone, like, the DS visuals are just really lacking. Yeah. And so, if they release a successor, supposedly in, like, 2011?
Something like that.
Yeah, like, that would be perfect, because, you know, it would help these handheld games, you know, look up to snuff when compared to, like, the cell phones on the market, you know? Like, I think it's kind of embarrassing that a dedicated gaming handheld doesn't have visuals that are, you know, remotely close to the iPhone.
I think that's a road Nintendo's been going down recently, where they concentrate on, like, ingenuity rather than, like, what? I don't know. I mean, I agree. I think it needs a graphics upgrade a lot, but recently they've been concentrating.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to get my expectations too high. I don't think this thing is going to be, like, super powerhouse in terms of like internal like processors and whatnot, but I at least expect it to look the same as my cell phone.
Yeah, that's very true. I don't know. I'm kind of cool to the idea of it being 3D though.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. I don't.
They need to sell me on it.
I don't find 3D that cool.
I mean,
like, I don't know. I just don't.
Neither do I.
The only reason I'm excited is because it's without glasses, and I want to know what the hell that means.
True. It'll be interesting to see. There was something.
Yeah, and I mentioned, off there was Kotaku's article saying, like, their theory of what the 3DS might, like, this technology might contain. Mm-hmm. I don't remember what game it was for the iPhone, but effectively it used, like, the
accelerometer.
Yeah, the accelerometer in the iPhone to, like, find out which way you're tilting it and then, like, sort of shift the image.
Like, parallax or something.
It forced 3D by creating two images and concentrating on moving one.
That's
relative.
Parallax.
Okay, I didn't know that. Yeah. But, like, it looked really cool. I didn't think it was a game, though. I thought it was just purely a test, like some type of...
No, it was a game.
Yeah. You might be thinking of the Wii hack that some guy did a while ago.
Yeah.
It's the same idea.
Yeah, and so, like, that seems the most likely to me.
Yeah.
Because it looked like something I would see on a handheld, plus it was on a phone.
If it's that's going to be weird, because that's going to require you to tilt the device to even notice the 3D.
Yeah. Well, no, you can tell, like, when you're just looking at it that it has this
I effect, guess, yeah.
But
I actually disagree. When I saw that demo, you couldn't tell it was something special until you really tilted it.
Huh. Well, I mean, the thing is, like, if it's a handheld, your hands are going to be shaking a little bit.
A little
so
bit.
So the image will,
maybe,
will show.
That just might make me woozy.
Three dimensions. Like, we'll see.
Yeah. See, that's the thing. Like, it... That didn't... That game or whatever, I wasn't impressed.
Yeah.
That looked like it was popping out. Ooh.
I mean, I'm less excited about the 3D and more just the fact that it will likely have a high resolution screen
screens. What's interesting is to see what else is new about it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Considering this is a new platform.
Like, I wonder if it'll have some sort of analog control.
Yeah.
Right.
I would just prefer that they concentrated on making it better rather than jumping on the 3D bandwagon.
Well, that's...
That's our hopes. We'll find out
yeah.
E3.
Yeah, we will.
I mean, I don't think they're going to, like, forget their current features.
Is there
going to
be
3D.
A Kingdom Hearts 3 announcement at E3 this year?
No, there was a thing on recently no. where the lead was like, we're not going to worry about Kingdom Hearts 3 until Final Fantasy Versus 13 is done.
Oh, man.
You'll probably like that game, though. Boys. That game is being made by the Kingdom Hearts team. It's an action RPG. We don't know anything about it, but...
Do I need to play 13 to play no. Versus 13?
Doesn't look like it.
Also,
doesn't have Sora or
speaking
Goofy.
Of
it has
Donald.
Emo-looking kids.
Fuck those guys.
What's the
well,
difference?
Dude, you like the love story between the stupid-haired kid with the
other
stupid-haired
kid
girl.
Yeah.
And, no, I preferred the Disney stuff.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I thought you said you loved that love
I mean,
story.
I re- no.
Loved it.
Fuck no. Sora and Kyrie?
Wait, really?
Kingdom Hearts brought me to tears. Just kidding.
Tears of sadness.
Just kidding.
No, like, what I mean, what I really liked was the way that it
okay,
took
Disney
this,
characters.
Well, but it took the emo-ness that is Final Fantasy and made it goofy and
okay.
lovable and cartoony.
Okay. So I'll speaking of
13 might
speaking
throw
of,
a curveball.
Oh, Thomas, this is more interesting.
Yeah,
speaking
okay,
of him wanting Kingdom Hearts 3, did you notice that they talked about Persona 5?
Yeah, apparently they're starting work on that.
Yeah.
Why did they wait to start work until now, I wonder? I wonder PS3. What the team is doing. Oh, man.
That wouldn't explain why they started.
Yeah, because Persona 4 was done in Japan a long time ago.
Yeah.
Huh. But the fact that Persona 5 exists is
Let's
cool.
Let's hope it's PS3.
I probably need to learn about this thing since
oh,
you guys like
God.
It so much.
You're kind of a turn-based RPG hater, though.
I've never played one.
Pokemon.
It's like Pokemon.
I like Pokemon.
That's
well, whenever we talk about it, you're...
Because I really haven't played one that I... Well,
well
played one
is,
really
it
and
is
played one that I like.
Really That's... slow. It's just everything else about
it. But
it
sounds
is
like it was fun
awesome.
To play together. I feel like I missed out.
You did.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah,
you
we'll
can't,
deal with it.
You can't have that experience. Sorry, Kyle.
I'm going to go cry.
All right, good.
It's also a game that's very heavily steeped in, like, RPG minutiae.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like, if you're not down with dealing with, like, micromanagement of, like, statistics and, like, abilities, you're not going to like it.
Yeah. And fusing.
And fusing.
Let's see if they, like,
oh my
update
God.
That stuff.
Dragon Ball
like,
Z.
See, like, what sort of updates to the mechanics they'll
I
make.
Hope they let you choose what abilities your personas get when you fuse them.
Oh, that would be awesome.
That'd be so much
that would
better.
Save so much time.
I know.
And this just flew over content.
I also just hope the characters are as good as Persona 4.
I know.
Because if they backtrack it and they're more like Persona 3 level of
yeah.
quality, that'll be fine, but it's not quite as cool. 4 had way better characters.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Persona's a good video game.
Yeah. I'm just reminiscing from summer.
Yeah.
Sweet.
When we played
through
Persona 4.
I'm just remembering how fun it was.
I'm just remembering that time we spent 6 hours at least tonight.
Dude, we spent like 9 hours once just playing Persona. It was rad.
It was summer. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, we had nothing to do.
Politics sounds less interesting now.
Yep. Less interesting now?
Yeah.
Okay.
Missed out on camaraderie. All
right, let's
wrap
end
it up.
This.
Okay.
Yeah.
So we have an email address. It's at 3bitpodcast@gmail.com. We'd like to, you know, have you guys write us. Let
Feedback.
Us know what you think.
Hate mail,
make fun
love
of
mail,
us.
Poke mail.
It's exceptionally easy to make fun of us.
Tell
what
us
the
about
hell
your
is
beauty
the point?
Pageants.
What the hell is the point of the mail items thingy in Pokemon?
I don't care.
You don't care.
What? Mail.
But what
items?
I don't know or care.
Okay, cool.
What the hell
and
is
then
a mail item in
there's
Pokemon?
Like you can send.
Oh,
mail.
What have you done?
You can send like letters to people. I've never done it. I know. I don't really know what it's.
Do
for.
You like connect.
You probably attach them to your Pokemon and trade them.
Oh, good.
So you draw a little penis in, like, ASCII characters and send it to a dude in Japan.
Excellent. Way better.
Only
and then
a
he'll
dude
draw...
in Japan?
Well, lots of people
only
from Japan
Only a dude
trade.
From Japan?
Whenever I trade online, I always get Japanese people responding.
Oh.
Which is weird.
Wait. Oh, from Wi-Fi?
Yeah. When you Whoa. Trade over Wi-Fi. Because you can tell because their Pokemon names are all in different characters.
Oh, I see.
Okay.
All right, so you get them and you're like...
And they have weird names. Yeah. And you're just like, oh.
Oh, cool. And you're foreign.
I don't think you can
rename
them. You
dirtied up my Pokemon.
It's not dirtied up. It's interesting. It's multicultural.
Sure.
Yeah. Right, and then we also have a website, a blog at 3bitpodcast.wordpress.com.
That's where you'll find stuff.
Yeah, stuff
you'll
will be
find
there.
Words on a webpage.
That's true. Yeah. There'll be things
It'll
there.
Include episodes and Kyle talking. And
just me?
Well, just gonna you're the only one who posted on there so far.
Yeah, that's true. I'm the only one who posted anything.
Thomas doesn't give a shit.
You should just migrate your blog over.
No.
Why? You would write exactly the same things that you would write on our blog there.
No.
Okay. Dick.
Bullshit.
But yeah, that's been...
Thomas, stop being a jerk.
It's fun being stubborn.
Yeah.
Make a new header so we can finally change
that
bitch.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I know you can.
Do you guys
want to
say
that for about a month?
This afternoon?
No, because I don't have the assets here.
God damn you.
Yeah, you don't have the assets. And with that...
episode, Peter Boda.
This has been episode 15, and with me is...
I'm Peter Boda.
Thomas Curtis.
And I'm Kyle Simmerly. We'll talk at
Goodbye.
In 2 weeks.
Goodbye.
Let's go to a Pokemon beauty pageant.
Woo!
Yeah, go Kyle and your beauty. Beautiful Kyle.
Now it's
but not
Pokemon.
This one. I talk about my Poke Walker.
Woo.
Oh, yeah.
I can open if you'd like.
Fine. Whatever.
Oh, wait. You said you wanted to do it since you don't
Dude,
have
I don't care.
About. Okay.
Either way. Just don't fuck it up.
I'll try.
Like last time.
Don't what be awkward. Just keep it natural.
Yeah.
Hi, guys.
So, video games. We can't do that.
Kyle.
That's against the law.
Against the law, huh?
I'm
I will
Kyle.
Call the police on you and have you taken out of your kick.
And
I'm pretty
I'm
sure they'll arrest
my
you
vocal
for
knobs.
No, they won't. They'll just be like, what the fuck, man? They'll just leave.
My name's Kyle Simmerly.
It's Mill Valley. I don't care that much.
And I'm turning my vocal knobs.
Just so you know.
Turn up the volume.
Pop up the volume. Pop up the volume. Pop up the volume.
Let's go.
Twist my
nipples. Okay. Three.
So.
Okay,
guys.
Ready. Three. Two.
Dude, just go.
3, 2, 1. 3, 2, 1.
3, 2, 1.
Stop looking at me like you're.
3, 2, 1. 3, 2, 1. 3, 2, 1. 3, 2, 1.
It's like an army jack off thing. Can I just start?
Yes.
Okay, good.
We're not preventing you. Dude.
I retire from this piece of shit.